Hey, Barrett Edelstein here, your celeb expert and your celeb savant. Celeb Savant is a weekly entertainment show. We have long-form career retrospective type interviews with celebrities, singers, actors, and industry experts. The Johannesburg-based trash pop duo known as Purrbox, consisting of Annika Reinicke and Joshua Rogers, began in January 2020. It all started off as a late-night jam session and quickly evolved into something way bigger than either of them could have imagined. The soft, melancholic, yet extremely playful melodies of Annika's vocal delivery, layered with the hard-hitting, gritty style of Josh's writing, come together to form a genre that borrows elements from many others. It becomes somewhat of a kaleidoscope of musical madness. Up next on Celebsvant, we've got Purrbox. Where do we find you in the world? How are you guys doing and what's happening in your life?
So, hi, I'm Josh. So, we're a Johannesburg-based thrash pop rock duo. I don't know even what you call it, Annika. If you want to jump in here, like, you can. We kind of formed through, I don't know, just actually hanging out, and we went out to the one evening, and we were just like, well, we're kind of drunk. Do you want to maybe just go home and jam a bit? You know, see what happens. That's just kind of how we began making music, and that was in like what, early 2020, late 2019.
Yeah. Before lockdown, we kind of started, yeah, well before lockdown, but I think during lockdown, we kind of peaked when it came to making music together. Just, I think those times really, it's not much else you can do, you know?
Where does the name Purrbox come from?
Jeez, I actually have got no idea. I actually cannot even tell you. I keep like notes on my phone. Mm-hmm. Think that's like, I don't know, it's something that I do on like a daily basis. So I don't know, if I hear something on like a movie or like some people talking or whatever, and like it's like a cool little anecdote or something, I'll write it down in my notes. And Purrbox was in my notes, so came out of that. When we were trying to find like a name for our band, I think we were just, I don't know, we went through a lot of ones. I think like,
I also remember we had a couple that we were thinking of, and I remember we didn't want it to be a we just wanted to be a one word kind
yes
of yeah. thing.
Yeah. At a point, I think we were nearly called like lap dust as well.
You guys started, you mentioned just a little while before lockdown. So how has that journey traveled to where we are now?
What happened from there was like I think we kind of have both learned each other's like sort of dials, you would say, yeah, and like strengths and weaknesses and stuff. And then so we're also in another band together called Painted Flowers, and apart from Purrbox also being in the other band, we've also like, I don't know, I have certainly grown from playing with Annika in like a totally different genre.
Yes.
And I guess it also kind of lends itself to like how we write and what we write. Correct me if I'm wrong, though, Annie.
No, completely. I think when we started making music together, it was very much like just kind of go for it and just getting to know each other as people. I think it's really important when you're in a band with anyone to, you know, your personal relationships are so important because they really reflect, I think, in your music. Yeah, if I know what he would be doing on a guitar and he knows what my like singing style is, and it's so much easier to make it together. I think it's formed quite organically. And then the more and more we made music, we were kind of focused on the genre that and like the people we were making music for, the kind of music we wanted to make.
From 0 to 3 to 4 minutes in creating a song or creating music, how does that work? Is it completely collaborative? Obviously, you do it together, but who does what? Is it easy every time? Let's dive into your creative minds and brains.
Yeah, well, so I mean, we have a bit of a ritual, actually. It kind of, like from the first time that we actually wrote music up together. Well, actually, the first time, a couple of times before we actually have decided, like, cool, this is going to be a band, and we'll actually release songs or whatever. We'd actually just, it's just we'd go out and just kind of, it's we get like very, very drunk, and then kind of like pull ourselves towards ourselves at about like, I don't know, 11, 12 yeah. at some nights, and then be like, yeah, cool, we'll go write music. And then, like, generally end up having not really a completed song, but like the bones of a song, yes. like early hours of the next morning. And then, like, in a weird way, that actually kind of became our of a process.
Yeah.
Like, I know it seems a little bit weird, but like it really did for like a solid like a year. That's pretty much what we would do.
Think
it's like, just like have a couple of
golden hours are always like from midnight to like 2 a.m. That's when I think most of the magic has been written.
Yeah. And like, yeah, and it usually begins with like drums. Or a bass line. And yep. then I think we kind of just flesh it out from there. We generally do start with drums and then...
You'd have like, a guitar like riff that you'd have, and go, oh yeah, cool, I like that. And then we'll start adding other things. Or when it comes to the instruments, I don't think it's always been like start with this and then go to the next instrument. Like,
yeah,
systematically, quite freely, depending on the mood and the song, really. Yeah.
Okay.
The only thing that like I would say is a constant thing is like. Actually us just hanging out and trying to like I don't know find the want to do it like we'll never like if we go out and we have a drink or 20 and then we end up just being like nah not tonight then it's probably four I'm the best
who's in is not forced.
yeah exactly
with our partners and our friends also like got a bit annoyed with us at the stage because we were just like, oh, let's go home and right. And really again.
So what are the goals, short-term and long-term?
I think now with Painted Flowers being in a different band together as well does obviously take up a lot of time of making music together. But we always just said from the start, we wanted to make music that we enjoy ourselves. We're not making it for a certain group of people or we always just wanted to make music that we love and
yes.
that we enjoy. So I think it'll just forever be that. I think an album or EP, perhaps in the future, definitely on the cards. Because I think we really started with just releasing singles. We worked with this amazing producer called Dean Salant. We would actually produce mostly everything ourselves and then like go to Dean with a basic demo. He would just kind of transform it into, you know, and kind of take it to the next level. He's been such a good, like kind of, I'd say the third member of Purrbox. We really love working with him. He really sees our vision and doesn't push us as a producer to do anything that we don't like. We work together with him so closely. Yeah, I think we'll still definitely keep working with him. And yeah, perhaps just more of a conglomerate story of maybe, you know, 7 to 10 tracks altogether.
You guys, so you're creating a lot of music in Purrbox and then the other band. So when you are sitting and relaxing and listening to music by other artists, are you able to just relax and listen? Or is your brains, because you're so... often creating, are your brains listening to music and thinking, okay, cool, this should be like that, that's like that, why did they do that? Or are you able just to take it for what it is?
Depends, really. I know I do that as well. Like, I also, that's when I'll sit with my partner and I'll be like, oh my God, you know, he's playing this guitar for this reason and it's going to make this sound and he's using this amp and it goes through 25 fucking pedals into this thing.
Yeah.
And I can see that she's just kind of going, what the fuck? I'm just trying to, you know, listen to a song here. There are times, there are like certain artists, I guess, where I don't do that or like certain times, like when I'm driving, like I'll just listen to music care. Like, I suspended without actually like overthinking it. But like, I don't know, like also like artists like Tom Waits and like and Bob Dylan. Like, I don't try and like overanalyze that. Yeah. Like, I mean, also like the Beatles, that kind of music, I don't ever try and overanalyze. I guess it's more modern music.
Analyze music more like when it comes to live sound. I think quite critical if I'm watching bands in a live sense, just because I think I studied sound and I used to do like front of house, you know, mixing. And I think, yeah, when it comes to live sound, I would never be all the way in the front of the stage with like the speakers being super loud. I think my ears are very sensitive when it comes to listening to music in a live sense. Yeah, no, I don't think, not so much critically, you know, when listening to bands or music. There's things I love or enjoy, then I'll take those notes. But yeah, I think more for a live perspective, I'm quite critical if I'm like, geez, this is so loud. How are they playing music so loud? This is so bad for all of our ears. Like, there should be, you know, standards that you can't play music this loud. Like,
yeah. I love this game. One of you is going to have chance to think. The other is going to be put on the spot straight away. So I recognize and understand if I had to ask you each of these questions, it would be different, your answer every time, whether I ask you in 2 hours, 2 minutes, 2 days, because there are millions of them. And I, like I said, I understand and recognize that. But if you had to push play to five songs by other artists, once we finish this conversation, what would those five songs be and by whom? Joshua, you're up first. Annie, you got time to think.
I'm number one, Queens of the Stone Age, I Appear Missing. Number two, Affection Wise, 99. Number three, Tom Waits, Hang On, St. Christopher. Arctic Monkeys, I'm a Pretty Visitors. And number five, Bob Dylan, I'm Just Like a Woman.
Annie, you next.
Can I just name bands or do you want songs as well?
So you can do bands. That's also okay if you can't think of songs right now. That's perfect.
I'm a big fan of Little Dragon. They're probably my favorite band in the world. They've got so many amazing songs. Queens of the Stone Age as well, 100%. I think it's been a big influence in our music, making it together as well. Erykah Badu, I love her as a vocalist. I love her as a personality. She's an amazing writer. Fontaines, you see.
Sure. You know, it's so weird. Like there's so many coming out of my head right now.
Yes, I know. That's why. That's why if I had to ask you again now, you'd have different ones.
Well, I'm trying to look around. I look at the records here.
So, I mean, one that we both definitely should have said was The Kills.
Oh, yeah. we don't want to reference them too closely, I guess, because of the genre and, like, what, you know, both of us, we do, but we do both love The Kills. So.
Okay.
Cool.
They're probably at the top of both of our lists.
Okay. Yeah. So what do you guys enjoy about performing live?
I'm a plot twist here. Purrbox has never performed live. Yeah, which is actually not for lack of trying, but I mean, it's also like, I guess, like, I think that this is somewhat of like a representation of the South African music scene currently. Actually, it's been finding musicians to commit to a project that isn't their own. And like, especially to me, what Annie and I think collectively have around like close to 30 years in the industry. So like, you know, we've been doing this for a while. And like I think everyone that like was going to be in like a new band did that in like early 20s or whatever.
I mean, it's messed up because both of us are committed to other projects, you know, yeah. We are like musicians for other bands, but I think just because both of us also, we both produce and write everything together as a two-piece, whether it's drums, bass, vocals, guitars. But I think, yeah, just also finding a way to do it live. You know, we've considered like stripping it down and playing something live that's like more chilled, but then we're like, that's not really what we want. We want to give them, you know, a crowd, a real Purrbox experience. Then we're like, okay, well, just wanted to be the two of us. How between the two of us are we going to do this? Then we don't want to start with the drummer, maybe. Then, you know, Josh can play guitar. I can play on multiple different synths and pads. And it's just logistically, we just, I don't know how we're going to do it. It's, we need a couple of people to kind of fill in and play the instrument parts so we can kind of, I prefer not to play any instruments in this band at all and just focus on vocals.
Yes.
There's so many synths and so much when it comes to production that we'll need people to do, and their heart's fine. I think we've had a couple of drummers in mind as well, and even like, okay, we can maybe do it as a three piece.
Figuring it out.
Don't know. Do it, to be honest. Yeah.
So let's put it out there that you'll figure it out, and then we'll, as soon as you can, then you will.
Building on Annie's point, like, I think, like, if you listen to a song like Run, this is for an example, like, at any given time in that song, there's someone four synths, someone a bass, a guitar, and two of guitars going simultaneously. So as we're doing that as a two piece, becomes a little bit tricky.
I look down upon it so much playing with the backtrack, because I think a lot of bands that do, you know, then it's also missing like in ears, and I don't know. We don't really want to play with the backtrack. It's never been something we want to do.
Yeah.
So until we can find a way to play it authentically live, we won't actually.
Like you asked earlier about our like plan for the next year or so, I think that is also definitely part of our plan, like actually doing a live show.
The podcast is listened to throughout the world. So as a final message from each of you, Josh, you first, what would you like to say?
Firstly, just thank you to everyone who's been listening to us for the last 3 years or so. I have to say the last year has been eye-opening to actually see like some kids in this is a living room fucking making... I'm drunk in music is like fucking being played in places like Kiev and California and St. Petersburg and all that other kind of stuff. Like, it's wild. So just thank you for that. And I promise you that there will be more.
Annie, your final message?
Well, I think the same. Thanks for everyone that's been supportive of us. You know, we keep dropping singles and we get such lovely messages from friends and family and strangers all over the world. We're big in Moscow, apparently. That's our number one. So Purbox is big, so hopefully that's in the future as well. And for anyone making music as an individual as well, just keep on doing it and enjoying it, and have fun in the process.